Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming because of your love for the Lord Jesus Christ and for His Word. I appreciate each one of you. My name is Ray Seiler. I'm here at Faith Bible Church in Steger, Illinois. It is Sunday, October 3rd. The reason why maybe your camera angle is a little bit off is because I'm not really sure about how copyright infringement works. And since we're doing something a little different today, and I have a TV screen for the folks in the audience, I just want to make sure that none of these images that are here, that's for the benefit of those that are here in person. So that's the reason. So before we start, I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for another wonderful day of your grace, mercy, and long-suffering. We thank you, Lord, for this country that we live in. We pray for all of its leaders, Lord, especially those that we tend to think we don't like that much. But we're not here to rail against those that are in charge and have authority. We're here to pray for them, Lord. So we pray for them more than the rest of them. We thank you that we've been able to sit under sound teaching for so many years. We're thankful for the teachers that you've brought through this Faith Bible Church. And we thank you for our pastor. And I personally thank him for this opportunity to share some of the things that the Lord has laid on my heart with your people, Father. So just hide me behind the cross, let the Holy Spirit be the teacher, and let this be a word of encouragement to all those, Lord, that are here in person and or if they're watching somewhere else, that this would be an encouragement at such a time as this to be bold in our ambassadorship for our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that we give thanks and praise. Amen. So it's time to wake up. We are at war. And that is very serious, our spiritual warfare that we are in. Now more than ever, it is time to wake up. Romans 13, 11 and 12. And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation or deliverance is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. So therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. It is closer today than when we first believed, right? And that salvation that's talked about here is not talking about our soul salvation. It's talking about deliverance from the day of judgment and wrath that God is going to pour out on this world one of these days. That's the salvation that's being talked about here. But it is time to wake up. It's time to prepare for the battle. So we're going to be looking at a couple verses in Ephesians chapter 6 that have to do with the weapons of our warfare. And also we want to know the adversary's weapons. We want to know his schemes and his devices. Because the Christian life, it is not a playground. We're not here to have fun, although we can enjoy our eternal life. But this is really a battleground, is what we're in. And we come here, we've sat under these teachers all these years to be trained to go out into the field for the battle. Now, I took a DNA test, and God is my father. And I really appreciate what the pastor was talking about last week when he mentioned that you hear here and there that we're all children of God. And you know what? That's not true, right? And right now, testing is the thing, right? That seems to be the thing right now. Everyone likes to test. Well, how about we take a little DNA test here? Because the truth is you're either saved or you're unsaved. The truth is that you're either clean or you're unclean. You're either righteous or you're unrighteous. You're either holy or unholy. You are either a child of God or a child of the devil. You are either in Adam or you are in Christ. But nevertheless, 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. You know what? The Lord knows those that are His, right? And let everyone that claims to know Christ as Savior depart from all iniquity. Because there's a lot of people out there that say they believe in God and that say they believe in the Lord. But really, in honesty, they do not. They might know about Him, like some people know about Abraham Lincoln. But they don't know Him like we know Him. We know Him personally, intimately. We don't know Him like the world knows Him. We know Him differently. So let's review a couple things together. I did that for Joe. The Lord looked down from heaven on the children of men to see if there were any who understood, who sought after God. You know what? They have all gone aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, no, not one. That's Psalm 14, 2 and 3. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:10 and 3:23. Ezekiel 18:4 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And this is not fake news. This is real. This is something everyone needs to take seriously. So it's time to think. Let's put our thinking caps on. Okay, are you ready? We're going to get ready to take this test. Are you ready? Keep calm. It's test time. Just one question. It's an easy test. Just one question. Have you ever lied? And I'm talking not lying down. I'm talking about to tell a falsehood. I think everyone say, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah." I know. I have. I've lied. Ugh. I got some bad news, folks. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There's no degrees of sin here, right? Liars and murderers are in the same boat. I think that's a lot of confusion that people have. They tend to put one above the other, right? Look at this list. See, these are on the top, and then, you know, this one's way down here. It's not so serious. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. What's the first one on that list?
Fearful.
I like how the Holy Spirit uses that word there. Something you might want to think about. Fearful and unbelieving. Why wouldn't he just say unbelieving, right? But fearful. I think that's something that you should mull over personally. Why did the Holy Spirit use that word fearful? We seem to be in a big culture of fear-driven things, right? Right now, especially now more than ever. It's all fear-based tactics, right? So I just appreciate the Holy Spirit putting that in there, and I thought I'd share that with you. I just thought that was interesting. But keep calm now. I have good news also. It's called the gospel. The good news. And this also is not fake news. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. Because if you failed that test, here, I'm gonna show you how to pass that test so you can call God your Father. And that's trusting in the gospel. And where do we find the gospel? The gospel we're talking about here is called the gospel of the grace of God. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, something that everyone should have memorized. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, you can be delivered from all kinds of errors by trusting in this gospel and understanding what it is and what it does for you. That's what he's talking about here. By which also you can be delivered from all kinds of errors if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. Unless you have believed in vain. Unless it didn't do any good when you heard it. You didn't really believe it. It didn't get from here to here. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul is saying, this is the same gospel that I have trusted in. That I have granted access to my heart. This is the same gospel that I'm giving unto you is the same thing that saved me. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and on the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. That is the gospel. You simply place your faith in that truth, that finished work, and you can call yourself a child of God. How does that work? How does that work? Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14 is a good illustration of how the gospel works. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, which you just heard, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed that truth, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The redemption of the purchased possession is going to happen at what's called the rapture. That's when God's going to see all those that have been sealed with his Holy Spirit, and he's going to reclaim us. That's we are his purchased possessions. So then the Spirit itself, right, we're sealed with that Holy Spirit the moment we trust that gospel. See, then the Spirit itself, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's Romans 8:16. For we did not receive a spirit that makes us a slave again to fear, but we have received the spirit of sonship, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. We can cry, that's a term of endearment. The word Abba is like when your grandkids or your children, Daddy, Daddy. It's an intimate word right there, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. He is our Father. And those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And daughters. And daughters. That's Romans 8:14. Because that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's how it works. See, because we're saved not by works of righteousness, which we have done, right? It's according to his mercy that he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of that Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And that word hope in the Bible means a guaranteed expectation. So we should be made heirs according to the guaranteed expectation of eternal life. That's biblical hope. The world has a wishy-washy hope. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I hope it is. That's not biblical hope. Biblical hope is a guaranteed expectation. So when you see that word hope, you just think in your mind, guaranteed expectation, and then you reread that verse. And I'll tell you, it'll surprise you in a lot of verses. It'll make you more confident in your Savior and in the Word of God. And we are justified freely by his grace. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation or a substitute through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness that he might be just and the justifier of that person that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. That believes in that gospel. Well, now that you are a child of God, you're in the Lord's army. And we are soldiers, right? We're talking about spiritual warfare here. We are soldiers. Man, every man, woman, and child that is a child of God, that has God's Holy Spirit, you are in the Lord's army. And there are many military terms that the Apostle Paul uses that are important to realize. This is a call to arms. And we're going to be looking at a combat guide. That's kind of what 2 Timothy is all about. It's our combat guide. How do we approach the enemy? How do we fight this warfare that we're in? So that's what we're going to look at, a couple things. 2 Timothy 2:3 says God wants us to endure hardship as a good what?
Soldier.
Good soldier of Jesus Christ, because we are in an army. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, no man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please that one who chose him to be a soldier. Who chose us to be a soldier? The Lord Jesus Christ, the risen and glorified Lord Jesus Christ. The moment you trusted him, he has chosen you to be a soldier. He has chosen you to a specific plan and purpose. And I like the way this puts it. So no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim, our aim, is to please the one who enlisted us. I just love the way that that took that scripture verse. Yea, and all those that will live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. We are going to suffer persecution when we try to live a godly life. That's guaranteed for us. That's something to look forward to, not to be afraid of, to look forward to. We're living in a world that's telling people, oh, if you believe and you're a believer, everything's going to go fine for you. It's not true. It's not true. We are going to endure some hardship. Some of us have endured hardships in our Christian walk and in our Christian lives. And I'm here to prepare people for those hardships that are coming. If you think they're not coming, you try to live a godly life today and you are going to suffer persecution. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We have one general, and it's not like the generals we see on TV. We have one general, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our one general. We don't go around his authority. He's the head of the body. He's the head. We don't do anything on the sly, anything on the side. We get our orders from him, and that's it. So I want you all to consider what I am saying right here. And I hope the Lord will give you understanding in what I'm trying to tell you here. And I want you to take this combat plan and entrust this truth to faithful men and women who will be able to teach others also. That's the point, is to pass on this combat plan to the next guy and teach it to him so he understands what the combat plan is. And that's how it works. This truth of how we're living today and the truths that are found in the Bible are to be passed on to others so that they in turn can teach others also. For the time is going to come when they're not going to listen to sound doctrine or that sound combat plan. There's coming a time when people are not going to listen to this combat plan. But after their own lusts, they're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables and falsehoods and myths. People like to be ear ticklers. This doesn't tickle my ear. Let me go over here. I don't like this combat plan. Let me go over somewhere else because this one's too hard. But you, soldiers, keep your head on a swivel, right? Keep your head in all situations. Endure hardness, endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist, the full work of an evangelist, and discharge all the duties of your ministry. Well, what ministry have we been given? That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And what is that? That's to tell people that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Today, he's not counting people's sins against them. He's not punishing sins today. He's offering grace, grace, peace, and mercy. And he has committed unto us this message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though we were making Christ's appeal to those around us. We are begging people on Christ's behalf that they need to be reconciled to God, because God has made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we in him might become the righteousness of God. Don't let anyone tell you that everybody's been forgiven. That's a teaching that's going around, and it's not true. Just because everyone has been put in a position to be reconciled to God, that doesn't mean they're all reconciled to God. And don't let anyone teach otherwise. We can look back at the Passover. How does that work? You all remember the Passover, right? In Exodus, the angel of death was coming through, and he says, "The blood shall be a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass you over." So did someone go beforehand and put the blood on all the doorposts before the angel of death came?
No.
Someone didn't go before the angel of death, though, right?
Right.
Who had to put the blood on the doorposts? The individual, right? The individual had to trust what this said. They made the sacrifice of that lamb, and they themselves applied that blood to their own doorposts. That's what that reconciliation looks like also, right? If they didn't apply that blood personally, that angel of death would not have passed over their house, right? They themselves went and put the blood over the doorposts. So today, you are in a position to be reconciled to God, but if you don't personally apply that blood to your own life, to your own heart, you will not be forgiven of your sins. That's how that works. So don't let anyone teach otherwise. Just because he took care of sin on the cross, there's still a sin question, there's still a sin problem. But you have to personally apply that forgiveness. You have to personally trust that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, right? He shed that blood for you personally. Now you personally need to take that and receive that truth and believe that truth. Then you're saved from all your sins. So thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. So that combat plan, these truths, I want you to take them and teach them to somebody else. Live them out first. We want to have a balanced walk, right? We don't want to just talk the talk. We want to walk the walk. Sometimes our walk is a better testimony than our talk. And I love Matthew 12. He who is not with me is against me. The Lord Jesus Christ says, those that are not with me, they're actually against me. And those that are not gathering with me, they're actually walking around and they're kicking everything that I'm sowing. That's what people need to realize. You're either with me or you're against them. There is no in between. You're either helping or you're actually kicking people away. That's how it works. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we're going to be looking at the wiles of the devil. I want to look at that term, the wiles of the devil, and Ephesians 6:16 also, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So there are two terms here before we get into our combat plan. I want you to understand Satan's plan of attack. We need to know our enemy. So I want to look at, what are the wiles of the devil? That's one thing we're going to look at today. The word wiles is the word methodia. Can you see what English word we get from methodia? Methods. These are standing against the methods of the devil. And it's used one other person. It's used one other time in the scriptures, and it's translated lie in wait. This is where that same word methods are used in Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby their method is to deceive. These are Satan's methods, right? And then we want to look at the fiery darts. The word fiery means pyro. Everyone can see where we get the English word, right? Pyro, pyromaniac, pyro is fire. And bellows is the word dart, it's bellows. And that means a missile, a dart, a javelin, or an arrow. And this is the only time that it's used in all of Scripture. The Holy Spirit uses it here. So what is a fiery dart? It's a dart or a javelin that's coated, and it's lit on fire, and it's shot at you. So what is its purpose, though? What is that fire supposed to do to you? It'll wreck your Christian testimony, right? He wants to light on fire something. Satan wants to light on fire something. And what do you think he wants to light on fire? He wants to light on fire this, your flesh, right? He fires darts to get you to react in the flesh, right? Because we're not in the flesh anymore, right? Here, then I thought Galatians 5:19 is a very good, these are the works of the flesh. Right? This is a list of things. Those fiery darts are meant to get you to respond to things in your flesh to lash out, whether it's, and you can go through the list on your own. No, we're not going to go through everything. But those that are here, you can see, how about outbursts of wrath, right? As a man, the natural tendency for problems is to get angry, right? That's like for maybe some women too. But as a man, that used to be my first response to things, right? Was to respond in my flesh, to get angry about something. Or to respond with hatred, you know, to respond with selfish ambitions. And there's a whole list there. That's what the fiery darts are meant to do. They're meant to burn down your Christian walk, and they're meant to light your flesh on fire so that you will respond in the flesh. Romans 7:25. So with the mind, we serve the law of God, right? But with the flesh, the law of sin. Every time we lash out in the flesh, we are serving sin. That's what that verse is talking about. So with our minds, we serve the law of God, right? We capture those thoughts and make them obedient. But every time we lash out in the flesh, we are serving sin. I thought this was a good picture. With my mind, I myself serve God. But every time I let those fiery darts get at me, it gets an emotional response out of me. And I thought that was a good picture of the duality that's going on inside you, right? For to be carnally minded, to be fleshly minded, is death. This is Romans 8. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they are that are in the flesh, those that are walking their Christian walk in the flesh, those that are lashing out in the flesh, fleshly responses to things, you can't please God like that. God's not looking for you to lash out in your flesh, to walk in your flesh, to serve your flesh. Remember, we're a purchased possession, right? We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is, therefore, now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. That's Romans 8, 1 and 2. So therefore, brethren, we don't owe anything to the flesh. We don't owe this body anything. For to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. Spiritually, right? Your testimony, your friendships, your relationships. When you lash out in the flesh, man, that just kills things. And sometimes it might even cost you your physical life to lash out in the flesh. But if you, through the Spirit, you mortify the deeds of the body, you're going to live. You tell that, no, I don't have to do that anymore. I've been set free from that. You be quiet, flesh, because this flesh is loud sometimes. It's loud. For a dead guy, he can make a lot of noise. So neither yield, this is Romans 6:13, neither yield, or since we're talking about spiritual warfare, I like the word wield. You know what it means to wield something? So neither wield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but wield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, I love the word instrument. It's the word hapalon. So it's also used twice as weapon, twice as instrument, and twice as armor. So I love that definition. So now let's just go back and read Romans 6:13 again. Neither wield ye your members as weapons, right? The word instruments is the same word for weapons. So don't wield your members as weapons of unrighteousness unto sin, but wield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as weapons of righteousness. We can be God's weapons. That's pretty awesome. Romans 6:19. So I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, right? Because of the weakness of your flesh. So for as you have in the past, right? wielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and sin upon sin, iniquity unto iniquity, even so, now I want you to yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. So it's basically saying the same thing, right? This is, the Holy Spirit reiterates things throughout the scriptures. He wants you to understand these things. And be not deceived, because God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You get what you sow. For he that soweth to his flesh is going to of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. God's not punishing people's sins today, but don't be deceived. God is not mocked. You're going to reap what you sow. And that's what's going on today. God's not judging people. People are just reaping what they've sown. So when we look around at the world and people are like, oh, God is doing this and God is doing that. He's not. Humanity is just reaping what it's been sowing for the past 1900 years. They're just getting what they've sown. So you also, in your walk, if you're going to reap to the flesh, you're going to keep feeding this thing and doing things according to this thing, you're going to reap what you sow when bad, when stuff happens. Yeah. Sometimes believers, even though they're not, some things will happen to them also. We're not saying that everything's going to be rosy. Remember, we talked about you're going to suffer persecution. But there's a difference between suffering persecution because you decided to do some bad things and suffering persecution because you're standing for the risen and glorified Lord Jesus Christ. There's a difference. So don't you know that to whom you yield or wield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are to whom you're going to obey. Right? Whatever teacher you're going to sit under, that's who you're going to, that's your master. Right? Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Whoever you decide to, the old thing, the good dog and the bad dog, which one wins, whatever one you feed more. that's a proverb from a biblical truth that's been twisted, right? Like almost all these things. They take God's word and God's truth and twist it. Oh yeah, that sounds good. I'm going to use that analogy. Just use the Bible analogy. How about that? So the night is far spent and the day is at hand. So therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the weapon, right? The word armor is that same word for weapon or instrument. So let us put on the weapon of light. And this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Because we are in a spiritual war. Not a fleshly war, a spiritual war. For though we walk in the flesh, right? We're still walking around in these bodies, but we do not war after the flesh. Our combat plan, our war that we're in is not against flesh. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal weapons, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we need to bring into captivity every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Remember, with my mind I serve the law of God, but with my flesh the law of sin. We need to capture those thoughts and make them obedient and not act on them. And remember, our warfare is not in the flesh. We're not here to get into brawls, at least not physical brawls. Getting into spiritual brawls. And that's where the fun is. Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, right? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We're in a spiritual battle, so our weapons are not carnal weapons. So do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, so are we. We're in a culture right now that wants people to look after the outward appearance of things. That goes against what God says. God says you don't look on the outward appearance. You don't look after things after the outward appearance. 2 Corinthians 10, for we dare not make ourselves of the number. Ooh, look how many people are here. Look how many people are with us. Or compare ourselves with some people that commend themselves. See, because they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Meaning, let's all just get in a big group here and pat each other on the back and talk about how wonderful we are. That's what they like to do, the unbelievers. And we could probably name all kinds of things that we can see that, right? Let's just get everyone together that believes, you know, the same thing, and then we're going to have a little party, and we're all going to pat each other on the back, and we're going to compare each other with each other. Hey, I'm doing pretty good. A lot of religions out there, you know, Scientology and stuff like that. They compare themselves to the number. They get in big groups. They commend themselves, right? They measure themselves against themselves. Oh, don't bring that guy in here, because then that'll throw the curve off. So God forbid that I should boast, right? Do we have anything personally to boast about? No. We should boast in nothing except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. By whom the world has been crucified unto me, and I unto the world. There's nothing special about anything about me. We're here to boast about our Savior, right? Yeah. My Savior's awesome. I like to brag about him. I like to boast about him. But not in me, right? Everyone's boasting about themselves. We're here to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, not ourselves. See, man looks at the surface, right? But God looks deep. God sees the heart. People want you to judge things after the outward appearance. We are not to do that. Let's look back at 1 Samuel, right? The Lord said unto Samuel, don't look on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord doesn't see like man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. This is when they were getting ready to anoint David, the new king. And Samuel went there, and the dad lined up all of his sons from tallest to smallest. Samuel said, yeah, that's got to be the guy. Saul's tall and head and shoulders above everybody. God said, nope, 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 nope. Samuel's like, do you have any more sons? Well, yeah, my youngest, David, he's out in the field with the sheep. We'll bring him, right? And we know how that turned out. So do not judge by appearances. We don't judge people by the way they look, right? That's in the flesh, right? Outward appearance, that's judging in the flesh. So we don't judge by appearances. We judge with right judgment. So 2 Corinthians 5, I like the way that this verse puts it. We've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view, right? At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. Well, how differently we know him now, right? We don't know him like the lowly Galilean anymore. We don't know him after the flesh. We shouldn't know anybody else after the flesh too, right? Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a brand new creation. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. From now on, we don't recognize anyone according to the flesh. We can't look at someone and point to him and say, oh yeah, you got the Spirit of God and you don't because of how you look. No, we don't do that. That's fleshly. Right? That's a response that Satan's trying to get everyone to do, is look out after the flesh. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a brand new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Right? We are a brand new creation in Christ. That old man we used to be, or old woman, is gone. It might rear its ugly head now and then, but that guy's gone. That woman's gone. You are a brand new creation in Christ, and you are in Christ Jesus. A new creation is what matters. Need to make sure your eternal life is the thing that matters. That people know who Christ is and what he did, what he's done, and what that means, their faith in it, who they become. Right now, there's no distinction, right? If you're in the body of Christ, there is no distinction between Jews, Greeks, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, freeman. It doesn't matter in Christ. There's not even a male or female in Christ. There sure seems to be a big push about all kinds of things. See, we are all one in Christ Jesus. We're one. And I like that picture. Yeah, all over the globe. We're not to look on things after the outward appearance. Because we walk by faith, right? Not by sight. Sight's a fleshly thing. That's a carnal thing. We're not to walk by sight. We're to walk by faith. Because we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is just temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So now that you maybe have a little better understanding of what the wiles of the devil, what his methods are, and what are the fiery darts, so we're going to look at some pictures here. You at home are not going to be able to see them, but... And then you tell me, what do you think? This is part of our combat plan, or you think this is a fiery dart or one of the devil's schemes? And you don't have to say it out loud if you don't want to. That's a fiery dart. Because no matter what side you grab a hold of, it can incite a very fleshly response, right? We can get into some heated arguments over this stuff. But is that what we're doing? Are we driving by looking on lawns and seeing who's got what sign in their front lawns? Because that's looking after things after the outward appearance. That's a trick, right? That's a trick. Is it important as an American? Yes. But that's between you and the Lord. You cast your vote between you and the Lord. But we don't look at the outward appearance. Because none of them are talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, let's be honest. None of them. That's a fiery dart. That's a fiery dart. These are not the weapons of our warfare. These are meant to trip people up and get you to respond in the flesh. See the gospel anywhere in there? I don't. That's a fiery dart. How does that bring anyone closer to Jesus Christ? There's some rough images. There are those that claim to know Christ as their Savior, right? God says, you depart from iniquity then. How does that draw on anyone? How does that make anyone draw closer to Christ, right? We're living in the administration of grace, peace, and mercy. That's what we're to offer people. Grace, peace, and mercy, not judgment. These are not the weapons of our warfare. None of them are. We're to speak the truth. The Bible's truth. The biblical truth. Because none of this stuff brings anyone closer in their understanding of who God is and what he's doing today. None of it. It's all fiery darts, but they're everywhere. There's traps people are stepping in all over. I know. I got some shrapnel from a couple. You know what I mean? I got some scars from some traps I've stepped in. But we're not to walk after the flesh, right? We're to walk, we see it, we mark it so the next guy doesn't blow up and steps on it. We mark it and tell the guy behind us, right? That's what you do when you're a soldier and you're marching. Tripwire. Mine. Is this where we're getting our truth from today? I know some are easier to watch than the others, but they none of them talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, are they? All this stuff is focused on what's going on down here in the world. We don't need to focus on what Satan's doing. We need to focus on what the risen and glorified Lord Jesus Christ is doing. Set your affection on things above, right? Not on things on the earth. They're just reporting what's going on the earth. That's all they're doing. Is this where our faith is in? Because our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I love Jeremiah. Cursed is the man who trusts in man, who makes flesh his strength. So-and-so said so I'm going to make that my truth. Whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, and shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Oh, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope, whose guaranteed expectation is the Lord. That guy will be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, and nor will that plant cease from producing or yielding fruit. Cursed is the man that trusts in man. Our faith is not supposed to be in men. So where is your trust? Now I beseech you, brethren, 1 Corinthians 1:10, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? We're here in Christ's stead, and I'm up here begging you, in the full authority that God has given each one of us, to stand for him, that there be no divisions among you, right? That you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. We need to all be following the same combat plan. And God is begging us not to let things divide us. We need to be on the same mind about things, of the same accord about things. We've got to be on the same page. No, it's... we need to be on the same mind about things. These issues should not be dividing churches, right? Because it doesn't matter. These things are not supposed to divide us, and yet it's being used to divide us. Now, I sent this text out a while ago, and this is 1 Corinthians 10. And I want you to think of, and I want you to hear this. For why is my liberty, why is my freedom to either wear a mask or not wear a mask? Right? That's your choice and your freedom. Or take the vaccine or not take the vaccine. That's your choice, your freedom. Why is my liberty being judged of another man's conscience? Why are we judging people because of whichever one they choose to do? Believers ought not be doing that stuff. There's supposed to be no divisions. We need to be on the same page, right? For if I by grace be a partaker, right, as a believer, by grace, you're either wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. By grace, you're either taking the vaccine or not taking the vaccine. Why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Right? Thank God that you have an opportunity to take a vaccine. Right? The people that got it are thanking God. The people that choose not to, they're thanking God. Why are we letting that divide us? Each person is thanking the Lord for it. That's what 1 Corinthians is talking about. So whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever, see that word whatsoever? Whatsoever you do. You want to wear a mask? You wear a mask. You don't? You don't. You want to take it? You take it. You don't? You don't. I love you no matter, it doesn't matter, right? Because we're not to look at things after the outward appearance. But we're not, so whatsoever we do it all to the glory of God. Whether we wear it or not wear it, take it or not take it, we need to do it for his glory and honor, right? Use it for his glory and honor. You that wear them, you might be able to get into certain places to talk to people that don't wear them can't get into. It's the same thing with the vaccine, right? There's two courses to take. There's two groups of people that need Christ. That's why we're all, and we have to be of the same mind and of the same judgment about these things, right? This issue should not divide people. When we're not supposed to give offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the churches of God. Even as I try to please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit. Right? I'm not doing these things for my own profit. But if you're going to do it, you're going to do it for the profit of many others, that they may be saved. Right? Those that refuse to take it, you are going to talk to a group of people that the ones that do decide to take it and are thanking God for it, they're not going to be able to talk to these people over here. But those that refuse to take it, this is your path that the Lord wants you to take. And you need to be talking to people. We all need to be talking to people, right? But we can't let these things divide us. We cannot let these things divide us. Just look around. A lot of stuff happened in the past year and a half. That's why this combat plan is so important to pass on to each other. It's important that we're on the same page about these things. We need to be of the same mind. Because really, there is salvation in no other, right? This isn't going to save your life. That's not going to save your life. There's only one person that can save your life. Who is that? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, right? There is salvation or deliverance in no other. There is no other authority given under heaven, given to men, whereby we must be saved. So there's a lot of people out there saying, this is going to save you, this is going to save you, this is going to save you. That's a lie. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is going to save you. That gospel of his grace is what's going to save you. That's the bottom line, right? For me to live is Christ, right? The whole purpose why we're here is to live for him. And to die is gain. Who can say that? There ain't too many people that get to say that. To die is gain. Who doesn't like gain? Remember? No fear. Death itself has been swallowed up in victory. We don't need to fear death. We're already dead. Right? We've already died with Christ. We are a brand new creation. So death has been swallowed up in victory. Only the believer can say, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? Only a believer can say that. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto him, right, who gives us the victory. We're going to look at a couple more things here, because these are some serious things that have been going on the past year and a half. Serious things that we should be paying attention to. We don't need to get involved in these things, but we do want to have open eyes, right, of what's going on. Because let's be honest. These are ungodly things that are going on, right? This is all in the flesh. Satan's got everyone responding to everything in their flesh. And none of them are really bringing people closer to Jesus Christ. None of these things. And it's sad, because it was a sad thing that happened. It was a very sad thing that happened. But is that the name that we're supposed to put above every name? Is this the name we're supposed to say? Absolutely. And cry? These folks, we need to be on the same mind about these things, on the same page. Not, we shouldn't let these things divide us as a body of believers. And it is. These things are dividing bodies of believers. It reminded me of Romans 11. That was the first thing I thought of, right? But what saith the answer of God to him? You know what? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed their knee to the image of Baal. There are others who are of the same mind that we are, folks. Trust me. Sometimes it feels like we're on our own and we're the only ones, but there are many, many others out there. But if you don't open your mouth, you're not going to meet them. Matthew 28, Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power, all authority has been given unto me, the Lord Jesus Christ said, in heaven and in earth. He's the one that has all the authority. For this reason, Paul says, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And we all know these verses. Romans 14, for as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, one of these days every knee is going to bow to me and every tongue is going to confess to God. They're going to bow to me and every tongue is going to confess. And what is that tongue going to confess? Can you? Yeah.
Amen.
Philippians 2, that at the name or at the authority of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, every knee is going to bow and should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess, yeah, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We got a lot of people out there say his name and confess. Confess what? That the wages of sin is death? No. Jesus Christ is Lord. And every tongue one of these days is going to confess that. We have already confessed that by trusting in him as our Savior. We've already bowed the knee and proclaimed that truth. We just need to live it out. So even in Revelation, right, the 24 elders, they fall down before him that sat on the throne, and they worship him that lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created." Revelation 5:13, "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." Who's the Lamb? The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, right? "Here cometh the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." Look back at Daniel, right? "And if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not," if he chooses not to, right? If he chooses maybe to let some of us get sick, if he chooses to let some things happen to us, right? Even though he might choose to allow those things to happen to us, we're not going to serve the gods of this world or the golden images which are set up, or the idols that are set up, or the statues that are set up, right? We will not bow down. Our God will deliver, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down, right? Even if he doesn't, whatever comes at us is not going to break us. We've already been warned, those that are godly are going to suffer persecution, but when it comes, oh, don't be mad about it, rejoice in it. Rejoice. Remember when the apostles rejoiced when they got whipped? They went home and they said, "We got whipped for our Savior." Rejoice when you suffer as a believer. Rejoice. So I like Joshua. "So if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord," if it seems like something that's a little too hard for you, you know, "you choose this day whom you're going to serve. Whether it be the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But you know what? As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord." And we could take that, the gods that were on the other side of the flood. Remember what was on the other side of the flood? Violence and idolatry and wickedness and every imagination and the thought of man's heart was only evil continually. Joshua's like, okay, you can go serve the gods you served on the other side of the flood. He's talking to the nation of Israel here, but this has a personal, practical application for us, does it not? So you can serve the gods before that were on that side of the flood, or you can even decide to serve the gods of the Amorites that, in the land in which you live, or we could serve the gods of America, the land in which we live, right? There's all kinds of gods you can serve out there. The one they're trying to get you to serve is self. That's the big one. Oh, you're your own God. You can choose to serve yourself too. You could serve your flesh if you want. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't know. I pray each one of you decide to do that too. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful opportunity, for this time that you've given me to be redeemed. And I thank you for each one sitting here that just redeemed their time. That time is well spent. Well invested in their eternal bank account. Help us to take this investment and spend it freely and give it to others, this combat plan. And we just thank you, Lord, so much for continuing to use each one of us until the day you come and take us home. And we're most thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on Calvary's cross for us so that we might be personally reconciled to God through our faith in that finished work. So thank you, Father, for each one here. Watch over our brother Ricky. And we just thank you, Lord, for this assembly and for all the sound teachers that we've been sitting under for years. We thank you so much for each one of them. and continue to use them and help us to retain all this wisdom that they've poured into us all these years. So we just thank you, Father, for everything in the Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.